The neighborhood of Bloomsbury Square towards 4 o'clock of a November afternoon is not so crowded as to secure to the stranger, of appearance anything out of the common, immunity from observation. Tibbsboy, screaming at the top of his voice that underscore she underscore was his honey, stopped suddenly, stepped backwards onto the toes of a voluble young lady wheeling a perambulator, and remained deaf, apparently, to the somewhat personal remarks of the voluble young lady. Not until he had reached the next corner and then more as a soliloquy than as information to the street did Tibbsboy recover sufficient interest in his own affairs to remark that underscore he underscore was her bee. The voluble young lady herself, following some half a dozen yards behind, forgot her wrongs in contemplation of the stranger's back. There was this that was peculiar about the stranger's back, that instead of being flat it presented a decided curve. "It ain't a ump, and it don't look like curvature of the spine," observed the voluble young lady to herself. "Blimey if I don't believe he's taking Ome is washing up his back." The constable at the corner, trying to seem busy doing nothing, noticed the stranger's approach with gathering interest. "That's an odd sort of a walk of yours, young man," thought the constable. "You take care you don't fall down and tumble over yourself." "Thought he was a young man," murmured the constable, the stranger having passed him. He had a young face right enough. The daylight was fading. The stranger, finding it impossible to read the name of the street upon the corner house, turned back. "Why, 'tis a young man," the constable told himself, "a mere boy." "I beg your pardon," said the stranger, "but would you mind telling me my way to Bloomsbury Square?" "This is Bloomsbury Square," explained the constable, "leastways round the corner is. What number might you be wanting?" The stranger took from the ticket pocket of his tightly buttoned overcoat a piece of paper, unfolded it and read it out, "Mrs. Penny Cherry. Number 48. Round to the left," instructed him the constable, "fourth house. Been recommended there?" By a friend," replied the stranger. "Thank you very much." "Ah," muttered the constable to himself, "guess you won't be calling him that by the end of the week, young." "Funny," added the constable, gazing after the retreating figure of the stranger. "Seen plenty of the other sex as looked young behind and old in front. This cove looks young in front and old behind. Guess he'll look old all round if he stops long at Mother Penny Cherry's, stingy old cat." Constables whose beat included Bloomsbury Square had their reasons for not liking Mrs. Penny Cherry. Indeed, it might have been difficult to discover any human being with reasons for liking that sharp-featured lady. Maybe the keeping of second-rate boarding houses in the neighborhood of Bloomsbury does not tend to develop the virtues of generosity and amiability. Meanwhile, the stranger, proceeding upon his way, had rung the bell of number 48. Mrs. Penny Cherry, peeping from the area and catching a glimpse, above the railings, of a handsome if somewhat effeminate masculine face, hastened to readjust her widow's cap before the looking-glass while directing Mary Jane to show the stranger, should he prove a problematical boarder, into the dining-room, and to light the gas. "And don't stop gossiping, and don't you take it upon yourself to answer questions. Say I'll be up in a minute," were Mrs. Penny Cherry's further instructions, "and mind you hide your hands as much as you can." "What are you grinning at?" demanded Mrs. Penny Cherry, a couple of minutes later, of the dingy Mary Jane. "Wasn't grinning," explained the meek Mary Jane, "was only smiling to myself."
"What at?"
"Dunno," admitted Mary Jane. But still she went on smiling.
"What's he like then?"
demanded Mrs. Penny Cherry.
"He ain't the usual sort," was Mary Jane's opinion.
"Thank God for that," ejaculated Mrs. Penny Cherry piously. "Says he's been recommended, by a friend."
"By whom?"
"By a friend. He didn't say no name." Mrs. Penny Cherry pondered. "He's not the funny sort, is he?"
"Not that sort at all." Mary Jane was sure of it.
Mrs. Penny Cherry ascended the stairs still pondering. As she entered the room the stranger rose and bowed. Nothing could have been simpler than the stranger's bow, yet there came with it to Mrs. Penny Cherry a rush of old sensations long forgotten. For one brief moment Mrs. Penny Cherry saw herself an amiable well-bred lady, widow of a solicitor, a visitor had called to see her. It was but a momentary fancy. The next instant reality reasserted itself. Mrs. Penny Cherry, a lodging housekeeper, existing precariously upon a daily round of petty meannesses, was prepared for contest with a possible new boarder, who fortunately looked an inexperienced young gentleman. "Someone has recommended me to you," began Mrs. Penny Cherry, "may I ask who?" But the stranger waved the question aside as immaterial. "You might not remember him," he smiled. "He thought that I should do well to pass the few months I am given that I have to be in London, here. You can take me in?"
Mrs. Pennycherry thought that she would be able to take the stranger in. "A room to sleep in," explained the stranger, "any room will do with food and drink sufficient for a man, is all that I require." "For breakfast," began Mrs. Pennycherry, "I always give what is right and proper, I am convinced," interrupted the stranger. "Pray do not trouble to go into detail, Mrs. Pennycherry. With whatever it is I shall be content." Mrs. Pennycherry, puzzled, shot a quick glance at the stranger, but his face, though the gentle eyes were smiling, was frank and serious. "At all events you will see the room," suggested Mrs. Pennycherry, "before we discuss terms." "Certainly," agreed the stranger. "I am a little tired and shall be glad to rest there." Mrs. Pennycherry